Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Who do you work for? It's the title of today's message. And it came in the middle of a couple weeks of stressful business for me. I'm not a legalist that say that you have to read your Bible every day, but I'm pretty sensitive that you probably should. And if there's a season that you're not reading your Bible, you better have had a season that you did, or you're going to crash. Okay? So in other words, you can't live long without reading the Word of God. You won't be successful long without reading the Word of God, because you eliminate a way that God wants to communicate with you, the way God wants to mold you into His image through His Word. So I'm not an advocate of saying don't read your Bible. I actually had I had some people leave the church one time because I gave a prophetic word to somebody and told him not to read his Bible for 40 days. And they thought that was heresy and demonic. But this guy read the Bible so much that he wouldn't do anything but that. You know, and that was an individual word, and people got mad at me, and I'm like, I don't care. You know, if you think I'm not an advocate of the Word of God, then I guess you haven't been around me. But what I'm saying is that I'm under some mandates in my business because the favor of God has come upon me and has scared the living daylights out of me. You know, if you don't handle your day-to-day stress, you'll never actually be able to handle favor. Favor showed up on my door and doubled my business. Now I have to hire some people, have to figure out some things. I went from 168 customers to 380. And I'm not even sure. I won't know anything, the completion of this, until September 1st. Being a basic, born and raised in a good Christian home with a father who was a workaholic, my favorite time with my dad was we were actually building a church. And my dad was running a crew, and just a couple of these guys go, "Brother Coker, don't you know Rome wasn't built in a day?" And my dad turned around. I wasn't foreman on that job, you know. So working and doing, you know, work is part of what we do. But I left the house, got in my car this week, and the Holy Spirit just checked me. He goes, "Hey, there's two things you haven't done today." I said, "What's that?" He says, "Number one, you haven't read your word. Number two, you haven't kissed your wife. Choose which one you want to do." I'm like, "I'm going to kiss my wife." So I went in and kissed my wife, and someone's calling me. And don't know who that is. Yeah. And so, yeah. So I gave her a kiss, got back in the car, and I said, "Lord," I remember years ago, I had a quote that I wrote down. "I am so busy today. I'm so busy today. I must spend at least the first 2 hours in prayer." And I'm like, well, that was a cliche that I haven't done. You know, sometimes you got to go back to the basics. I'm so busy today. I have to spend at least the first 2 hours with Him. And so I just sat in my car. I said, "Okay, it's evident. Got to kiss the wife. It's evident. I need to get back in the Word." He said, "No, I'll give you a word today." And so I'm driving down the road, and there's this air conditioning service van drives by me, and right on the back of it is Colossians 3:23. And he goes, "Is that a work van?" "Yep." "Does it have my word on it?" "Yep." "You can look it up." And so that's what we're going to go to. If you want to go to Colossians 3:23, let me read it for you. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man." Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Come on, Kathy. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. I'm not calling her a rookie. But listen. So as I the Lord hit me with that script. I didn't know what it was. So I pulled off, went to the rest area on I-4 and pulled it out. So whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. So the question is, the Holy Ghost goes, "Who are you working for, Charlie?" Did I give you favor? Did have I given you promotion? Have I put things in your hands? Who do you work for? You still think you work for them, or did I give you the favor? I'm like, whoo, man, I got tuned up. I got tuned up. And so I have an iPad Pro. That's just a bad machine. I mean, if you're going to have one, have the best. And I've had it for about 3 years. About a year and a half ago, this thing started making crazy noises. It started going ding, 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 ding. The battery started, usage would go down. It wouldn't last all day. I had to plug it in the car. And it's been, it's got a nice cover on it, but this is the cover. It's actually got a keyboard under the cover. Okay, but this quit working about a year and a half ago. I didn't need this because without that, it comes up and you have a keyboard on the iPad. So the Lord says, do you remember the scripture in the van? He says, yeah, I have another lesson for you. He said, how long has your keyboard not been working? I said, a year and a half. He says, so you just keep a nice cover over an iPad because it's a cover, but it's actually quit communicating. He said, pull that thing out of the case. And I pulled it out of the case and got it like this, down to the raw substance of what it really is. He says, that's just like you Christians. You have a pretty cover, but it quit communicating. It went over well. And see, here's the contacts right there for the power that feeds the power on the keyboard. So I pull this thing out of the case, because I went back to reading my Bible again this week on my iPad, and it quit going ding, 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 ding. And all of a sudden, all day long, I'm still at 85%, and the battery's life is not being zapped. He says, isn't it amazing that when you quit communicating through your keyboard, the battery life goes down? He says, when my people quit communicating with me, their energy level goes down too. Who do you work for? Is that making sense? So my wife let me go to Altamont Springs and buy me a new cover, a new case, and this thing works now, baby. So in other words, what we're saying is, do you want to keep your pretty cover? Or do you actually want to communicate? See, you can actually communicate with God and actually never be connected to Him. What's the difference? Communication is verbal. Connection is power. That was good. That was good. Thank you, Susie. So, who do you work for? Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You got to understand something. As I started to read that scripture and I started going back, whatever you do, and I started going back through Colossians 3, and I wound up in Colossians 2, and I'm like, heck, I'm just going to start over and read the whole book. So I read Colossians 1, 2, 3, and I realized, man, this is just basic Christianity. The Apostle Paul wrote this, he penned this, and he did not birth this church. Somebody else birthed this church. And he found that they were faithful Christians, and he connected up. Some guy named Apphidophysis started this church. And you can tell that Paul fathered this guy, and through letters, him and Timothy wrote letters. And he wrote, in our intercession for you, we're so proud of you. The basic letter, the Colossians is basically false doctrine had started creeping into church, and he started dealing with humanism. Man, when I started studying this, he goes, just like you, you think you have this new job and you think you can do it. That's humanism. If I don't empower my favor, it'll crush you. If you're not tapped into His source, your success will crush you. And so you got to realize the Apostle Paul is writing to a group he's never met, only in the Spirit. Is your intercession good enough to know people you don't know? There you go. That was good. See, the whole book of Colossians is Christ-centered. He wrote that book telling them, quit doing your humanism and quit doing all your vain philosophies and get back to Christ, and Christ alone is everything you need. And so what it says, when you work, who are you working for? You're doing it wholeheartedly to the Lord and not to man. And so I started reading, and then I wind up reading and getting myself in trouble. So I went right up to verse 17, and I saw the same thing. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word and deed. He dropped down to 23, and he gave me that scripture. I'm like, what are you telling me? And he says, well, go back further. So when you go into verse 12, it talks about the character of the new man. And I love this, where if you look at verse 12, it says, therefore. What do you do when you read the word therefore? You look at everything that was written prior. Because what he said is, what he's saying, if he's giving you some instructions, and then he says, therefore. The problem is your therefore doesn't mean nothing unless you follow the instructions. So I wound up backtracking this whole chapter to figure out who I worked for. And then I found out if I don't figure out the therefore, who I work for will be skewed in my own mind. Or I'll have hindrances to be able to find the power and the grace to walk in favor. And so we're going to start all the way at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And we're just going to run right on down that chapter. Okay, guys? You guys got your tennis shoes on? Verse 1 of chapter 3. If when you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So listen, if you could just do this. If, seek, and set. If you are in Christ. If you're in Christ. Are you? Yes. Have you figured your if? Have you worked out your if? Is he truly your source? So you got to work your if. If you've worked your if, then you can seek some things. And after you seek some things, you'll set your mind. Are you getting this? Come on. Let's. If when you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your mind, that actually converts to heart, on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, the crucifixion you were involved in. Your natural, stressful, stress-eating, fat-hating, lazy-butt life was crucified. I went over well. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Listen, I read that, and the Lord said to me, how many times have I visited you personally? I said, multiple times. I mean, I've had him show up in the room. I've had him show up in the car. I've had him. He says, listen, he says, every time I appear to you, you get a different glimpse of me. And right now, you need a new glimpse of me. I'm not going to some super spiritual, spooky thing. I'm going back to the basics of the first appearance of who he is. Yeah. Why? Because if I'm in him, then I can seek him, I can find the mysteries, and then my mind gets set on him, not on the humanism, work harder, do this, but, you know, the wisdom's got to be there. Does that make any sense? When Christ, who is our life, appears, my question to you, has he appeared to you? Has he been revealed to you? If he hasn't, when I changed that song from fire come out instead of fire coming down, you would have thought that was foreign. Or if it went from our God to my God, you would have felt that was foreign. You would have wrestled with the fact of repeating, I am as righteous as Jesus Christ is. Verse 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Wow. Do you understand? This is the portion of the therefore in verse 12. So he's saying to you, I'm a consuming fire. What have you given me to burn? Have you given him your fornication, your uncleanness, your passion, your evil, your desires, your covetousness, your idolatries? What are you feeding that fire? In which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are put off all these things. Oh, I know that was a rough list I just gave you. Let me give you one that's easier. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Therefore, there was neither Greek nor Jew. Can't be prejudiced. Circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Wow. That's a chunk, man. That's a chunk. I went from reading a scripture on a van and then got road rage to 20 minutes later. Because another van tried to cut me up. And I had just read, Who Do I Work For? And listen, years ago, this is a funny story. Years ago, I was driving one of our cars, our vehicles. I was driving the Gray Pathfinder, and I was coming out of Mount Door, and I was getting it. So I pull into the store, and my oldest son, Dad, somebody's on the phone. They want to talk to the owner. So I go back there and grab the phone. Yes, sir. Are you the owner? Yes, sir, I am. He goes, I've been a business owner. He says, I want to tell you, one of your employees is driving a Gray Pathfinder, and he's driving like a freaking maniac. I said, a Gray Pathfinder? Yes. I said, I know exactly who is driving that vehicle. I will reprimand him as soon as I'm off this phone. Yeah. My son was laughing his butt off. So my question is, could you put God's name on your vehicle? Some of you need to take the fish off the back of your car. Some of you need to take the fish off your checkbook too. All right, verse 12. Let's go there, verse 12. That would be you, Kathy. There we go. Therefore, listen to me, therefore, do you understand everything I read, if you apply, if you deal with the fornication, you deal with the uncleanness, you deal with that, then you deal with the anger. Listen, there's levels of corruption in us that need to be burned up by the Holy Ghost. He is a consuming fire. He wants something to burn. But you know what? He won't invade your firebox. He won't invade your the inside of your heart. He has to be invited. And you have to say, Lord, I know you're a consuming fire. There's some stuff that needs to be burnt. It needs to be purified. Whew. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing. Wow. With one another. And forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But, verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. See, do you understand? if we deal with all those issues and let the Holy Ghost burn them up, and we surrender and present ourselves as a living sacrifice, after that, we wind up coming to a perfection of love. That is awesome. Perfection of love. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Listen, if your peace has left, you're not right. And I don't care how busy you are. I don't care if the VP and the CFO is coming into town this week. I'm preaching to myself. I don't care. If your peace has left, you're not right. Why? Because peace is a person. What's the first verse? If you're in him, peace is a person. And I don't care what the outside stresses are. Listen, I'm under a lot of pressure. I stress eat when I'm under pressure. I snap at Susie, and it's not the smartest thing you do. I barked at her over the most stupidest question she asked because I was so consumed. And that's not going to go well, because when the peace has left my house, I need to go too. Just leave it up. It ain't going to be good. It's like, I'm going to go hang out at the neighbor's house. But if your peace is left, you're not right. So when the pressures come and we haven't figured it out personally, we start overvaluing ourselves. Because when the peace is left, his presence is left. When we no longer value his presence more than we do our pleasures. What do you mean by that? Pleasures, anger, self-centeredness, selfishness. We manipulate into, I want you to feel sorry for me. You know, Susie, I worked all day today. It's Saturday. Listen, I hate paperwork. I put this on Facebook. I hate paperwork so bad, and I have so much to do right now. I got up and cleaned the garage. No, I worked on my sermon. Then I cleaned the garage. I service the generator in case the hurricane comes. I hate paperwork, but right now I have to do it. And the funny thing is I have the Bluetooth speakers in my shop light, and I'm praising God. And it's noon. I'm like, I got everything done. That was favor. That was supernatural. And then the Holy Ghost says, now you can do some paperwork. I'm like, I don't want to do any paperwork. I still don't want to do that paperwork. And I'm grumpy. And by the time I went and took a long shower and a nap. But I was working when Susie came home. I was working when Susie came home. And then she was getting in my space. It's about as real as I can get. What's verse 20? Whatever you do, who are you doing it for? He says to me, would you bark at me if I was standing in this kitchen? Would you snap at me? And Ron goes, he would. That's why you're beat around the head, neck, and shoulders and got bruises. Yeah, he's never in the kitchen. But seriously, if you're a stay-at-home mom, or if you're a stay-at-home dad right now, who are you working for? If you're in that deadbeat job, who are you working for? Maybe it's deadbeat because you don't know who you work for. That was good. I feel better already. Some of you are agreeing with me. Now I don't feel lonely. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Listen, this is the key. Can you be at peace with the stress you're carrying today and let God rule there. Because if you cannot, don't act like you can do it when you're in the garden getting ready to go be crucified. Because when you come from just sonship to a begotten son and the father asked you to be sacrificed for somebody else because you wanted to be like Christ, you'll run. You don't have the guts to do it because you won't let peace rule in your heart. Did you hear what I said? We said, I want to be like you, Jesus. I was praying one day and singing in songs. I want to be like you, Lord. And he goes, no, you don't. No, you don't, because it's about you. Anytime somebody offends you, you want to get even. Anytime I ask you to sacrifice for somebody else's benefit, you feel rejected or like I'm unfair. But you just want to be a son to get the benefits of the inheritance. You don't want to be a begotten and rule with me like Christ did. What happens till you come through that process and be willing to become a begotten son and be used by God in any way for other people's benefit, then you'll say, hey, he's a leper. Don't touch me. Instead of going, tell that leper to touch me. He'll get clean. See, there's the difference. Religion says he's a leper. He's dirty. Don't touch me. Once you know who you are, touch me, baby. Touch me. You'll be clean. Just touch me. Why? Because I'm a consuming fire. You got some stuff that needs to be burnt, and I'm going to burn you with love. Come on, man, listen. This is reality. People got fired, and I got their job. This week, he called me and wants to work for me. Can I have this? Can I have that? I said, I don't know. You talked bad about me last week. Well, I was hurt. Well, you're an idiot. He told my boss, why did you give, he told the CFO of our company, why did you give him all this? He'd rather be a preacher than a lighting salesman. And he ran me to the ground. And I heard about it from the bosses. So I said, listen, I've known this guy 25 years. I said, I've had dreams about him. He knows I'm the friend of God. I said, give him a week and I'll challenge him. So I called him. Dude, you ran my name down. Well, everything I'd say it to your face. I said, well, then starts talking. He said, everybody knows your passion is preaching, not working. I said, you don't know that. I like money. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. Money answers all things. Read it. Look it up. And so he's like wrestling with me because I called him on it. This is a guy who I've called and had dreams about his employees and about his family. And we've had a 25-year competitive relationship. And he trashed my Christianity. So I called him on it. He said, brother, listen, I really didn't trash your Christianity. I said, what do you call that? He said, I'm just saying you don't really want to sell lights. You'd rather preach light. I'm like, listen, I like doing both. Apostle Paul made tents. You buy two tents, I'll give you a discount. Who do you work for? Who do you work for? Who do you work for? Let the word of Christ dwell in you, verse 16, richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So if I'm working for the Lord, I have an associate called wisdom. If you ever study wisdom, wisdom was with God when he created everything. Wisdom stood beside God. It's not the Holy Ghost. Wisdom is a being. It's a spiritual being that was with God when they created the heaven and the earth. So if you're in a job that needs creativity, listen, I'm like, I need to hire a 35-year-old designer who's hip. I'm an old man, and we're selling really expensive lights now, and that's not me. I'm not pretty. I'm old. I need to hire somebody who can talk to designers. The Lord's like, I'm a designer. I'm like, You know what I meant, Lord? He goes, I designed everything. You got more creativity in your pinky than these people have been trained. The problem is you're unwilling to talk a language that you're unfamiliar with. Come on. Verse 17, we're back to, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All right, now we're going to get to the hard part. Verse 18, wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleaser, but in sincerity of heart toward God. Here, let me read it in a version that you can understand it. Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. Who are you working for? For we are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back and read this 18 in this version. Let every wife be supportive and tenderly devoted to her husband, for this is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. I'm under pressure. I started to get mad because Susie doesn't want to work for me. The only thing Susie wants to do is count money. All right. I know you all have opinions here, but it doesn't matter.
I worked for 30 years.
What am I saying? Listen, I'm being honest. We're being open. We're being here. In other words, I have areas that I can be bitter. You want to be women's lib equal, right? Get your butt to work. You can find something to be bitter with your spouse. And it goes both ways. It's husbands and wives, wives and husbands. Let every wife be supportive and tenderly devoted to her husband, for this is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. Let every husband be filled with cherishing love for his wife. Never be insensitive toward her. I violated that yesterday with my snippiness. Because I'm so busy. Who do you work for? Let's keep going. Let the children respect and pay attention to their parents and everything, for this pleases our Lord Jesus. And fathers, do not have unrealistic expectations for your children, or else they will become discouraged. Who do you work for? See, would you think that those children are your children, they're not his children, then you're not working for the Lord. You'll mold them in your image and you won't mold them in God's image. And you'll have to get alone with God to find out what makes that child tick, what makes that child different from this one. Listen, we raised two boys. One's a brainiac that does all the stuff and the other one's really hands-on. If I'm in the wilderness and I need to survive, I don't need the smart one. He would give me all the statistics on why we're going to die. The other one was like, Dad, we can dig a ditch here. We can find water. We can eat this. We'll eat turnips. I'd much rather be with Brian than my oldest one. Yeah. And the older one's not allowed to have a gun because his wife won't let him. But he's going to starve to death where I'm at. Yeah. But what am I saying is we're all different. So if you're being a parent, who are you working for? Whose are they? You're going to have to go to wisdom on how to make that kid tick and get to the fulfillment and the promise and the testimony that God has given them. Marcia came up and gave testimony of her two sons that she's been praying blessing and just off the chain raises and promotions. And I believe we're in that season. I believe there has been a corporate shift corporately. I believe there's been a shift in this church. There's people with jobs and raises. There's people that need them. Time to tap in. Amen. I'll never forget a study that there was a man. He did this study. He there was a job in New York City. I believe it was a advertising agent. Put it out there and put the job description and put the salary at $120,000. They had 300 people apply for the job. Waited, same job description, same person, same amount, and they put the salary at $250,000. They had 3 applicants. What's the difference? You don't think you're worth God's favor. You don't think you're worth God's favor. Now, I've gone back and I said, God, where am I at? And the Lord said to me, he says, I wish you'd go back and listen to some of your preaching because it's been pretty good. You haven't got it though. Y'all remember me preaching that series about favor? Favor isn't fair. Listen, I went back and listened. I said, man, that's really good stuff. I wish I'd have listened. I wish I would have applied it. Because for you to earn favor with God, you got to be connected to God, just not communicate with him. See, favor is a connection because it's a resource that God flows out. I love what the prophet Elijah said. He said, if I have found favor with you, don't let it rain for 5 years. If I'm a prophet of yours, if I found favor with this, listen, favor is an empowerment. And I believe God gives us favor, gives us wisdom to gain resources, not for our sake, but for the kingdom's sake. Because I believe there's some hard times coming in the next few years, and it's time to get our houses in order. Am I preaching to myself? All right, listen to this. Verse 22 on down. Now, let me talk. Let me go back to this husbands and wife and kids stuff. Too many times we'll take the favor of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, and we'll go do it in a job, but we won't do it in our home. And some of us have not put our house in order, and so we put our effort into a career because I could look like a rock star in my career and be a pinhead at home. Getting quiet in here. I don't know if you remember, years ago, there was a guy sitting on the right-hand side, and the Lord gave me a word for him. I said, listen, you can't party like Bon Jovi and preach like Benny Hinn. Make your choice. He still doesn't like me. I sat my children down a few years ago, and I said, listen, I know both of you are adults. You know, God speaks to me about things that you're doing and things that to warn you. Do you want me to not get involved with your life at that level? And I go, you better tell us when God tells you that. He says, you've never manipulated us with it. Okay, so they knew there's a standard. They watched us rebuild a marriage. They watched us rebuild a home. Do I wish they would go to church and do all the stuff they are? Yeah. I could preach both of their funerals and they're saved. They're just knuckleheads in some areas. And some of it is because they saw the way that we lived for God, and we paid a price that they don't want to pay. But there's a respect there. My children have a respect. When I call and say, God showed me this, they go, okay. They listen. We can't badger our children into discouragement. Quit putting a demand on Susie to fill in your weaknesses when I'm the one that'll give it to you. Susie's got her own weaknesses. She'll come to me for those. Because if she can come to you and she gets it from you, she won't get it from me. Now, do we need to work together? And the two, yeah. But I need to go to God to cover my weaknesses. God will send me people. I have to manage it. Who do you work for? Lord, I need to do this and this and this. And he said, well, go to the boardroom. See if you have the finances coming in. See if you can hire this. See if you can do this. Lord, I didn't want to do that anymore. Yeah, I know. But favor isn't fair. That every employee, verse 22, listen well, follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employer is watching, not in pretense, but faithful in all things. We are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of God. Verse 23, put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. Verse 24 is the key. For we know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord, as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. Verse 25, a disciple will be repaid for what he has learned and followed. Some of us have learned some things, but you quit following it. For God pays no attention to titles or the prestige of man. My question is, who do you work for? Everybody saved in here? All right, so we're not doing an altar call for salvation. I'm doing an altar call for participation. Some of you need to fill out a new application and go to work for the right one. You're not working for your spouse. You ain't working for your kids. You're working for him. Just makes sense today. Stand to your feet. I want you to pray this prayer. Ron, pray this prayer. Lord, I'm going to pray for Ron. I'm going to pray as Ron. Listen, who do you work for? Answer that. You work for God. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, I work for you. I would like to have an evaluation of what kind of worker I am. I want you to reveal to me my strengths, my weaknesses, places that I'm faithful, and places that I'm not. I ask you to be honest with me. Because you said, where I'm weak, you'd be strong. And the truth will set me free. Areas of my life, with my spouse, my family, and my church family. Expose the areas that need to be healed, that need to be worked on, that I need grace for. Mr. Peace, teach me to let you rule. I denounce philosophies and secular humanism. I just denounce it. And I line up with you in every dimension of my life. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, and relationally. Heal me, Lord. Now, Lord, verse 24 and verse 25 of Colossians 3 says this, you are a rewarder. I want to see my reward. I'm willing to take the process apply it to my life, and I want the reward that comes from you. Revelation, visitation, provision, influence, and greater grace. That's what I want. Thank you for divine health that's already been purchased at the cross. I thank you for it. Your employee, because I work for you in the family business, and your daddy, and I'm your son. Thank you for the principles in the employee manual that teaches us how to rule the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.